You're listening to the Voice of the Arts, WQED-FM. I'm Jim Cunningham. Violinist Devin Arrington is with us. He's the founder of Musicians with a Mission, and he has a terrific violin studio. He's a graduate of Carnegie Mellon University, where he was a grad student, and he's assembled amazing musicians who go into unlikely places to make music and lift spirits, often into assisted living facilities. Devin, welcome. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Jim.
In a moment, we're going to hear you play your variations on Amazing Grace, For the Beauty of Grace. And we have two other pieces that you've written to share, Heavenward, and you're a string quartet number two. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But tell me about Musicians with a Mission. You began it all. It started with you.
Yes, I started it in 2010. And the goal was to take one population group that is often in isolation, musicians practicing their instruments. We will even sometimes talk about we're going to our practice cell. And take that group of isolated people and have them do what they would normally do anyways in their practice room, but now bring them into nursing homes, personal care homes, and target another group that is often isolated. And enjoy the mutual companionship of good music. And I always knew that the residents of the healthcare facilities would really appreciate this music. But what surprised me was the great reaction and response that I got from the musicians, how much it meant to them to have the opportunity in such a safe setting, in such a welcoming environment, to share their music and to not just hold on to their gift and have it become something selfish, but to actively be giving it to the community.
So you have a short program that you put together when you go into an assisted living facility.
One of the things I do as the founding director is all new musicians get a little bit of coaching on what is the appropriate types of music to play. You know, singing a lot of slow pieces in a foreign language would not be ideal. mixing things up, giving the audiences a lot of variety. I find a ratio of two livelier songs for every slow one works well. Because a lot of times the residents, you know, they have a pretty sedentary lifestyle. And so they really appreciate music that helps them come alive, you know, clap their hands, makes them move around inside.
There's a lot more research these days into how powerful music is to lift your spirits, more useful than certain pharmaceuticals that are used to cure or help alleviate depression. In America, we tend not to think of the elderly as much as we should. We're a youth-oriented culture. But as you pointed out, your musicians, who are mostly younger people, they're turned on by what happens when the two groups get together.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been an amazing thing to see. And we're now looking at bringing some of our musicians to people's residences. So maybe somebody has a loved one at home who has dementia, and they would love to have some live music performed for them. So not just going into nursing homes, personal care homes, but I'm interested in getting our musicians to people's homes as well.
So how can people participate? They can look at your website if they'd like to get more information.
Yep. We have a brand new website that was done for us a year ago. It looks great. The guy did a great job. And it has not all of the musicians, but it has a number of them, their photos, their bios. We have endorsements from various healthcare facilities, from the activity directors who have used us.
All of your musicians have active concert careers. They're teaching. How often do you add a new player to the roster?
Because I'm a CMU graduate, I advertise some at CMU.
You have how many total?
We have, I would say, probably at least a dozen that are actively involved, and others that if I reach out to them and say, hey, can you do this performance, they'll probably do it.
Okay. And do you have a fee structure that different groups can afford?
Yep.
I mean, it gets expensive.
Yeah. So I always do the first performance for free for the healthcare facilities. So I like to go there first myself, and I like to try it out you know, see what the venue's like, talk to the activity director, ask them what their needs are, what kind of music would you like. And then we have kind of a sliding scale because there's some facilities that have more resources and others that have less. So it's between $150 and $200.
Well, that sounds really a bargain.
It's discounted. It's about half of what many of the musicians would charge if they were hired, you know, from an outside venue to do an event.
And you're always hoping to expand your world through grants and your fundraising, and you have some fees to the presenting organizations. But keeping it all together, I know, is quite a challenge. I think it's wonderful what you're doing.
Well, we only keep a small amount for the overhead costs because we have to pay our fiscal sponsor. But most of it goes to the musicians.
And you're hoping to get to more non-traditional venues down the road. You're exploring that possibility.
Yeah, we're interested in partnering with the Allegheny County Jail and bringing music there as well.
I hope you can pull that together. Now, let's talk about the three pieces that you'd like to share. Which one do you want to start with? Heavenward? What should we begin?
Yes, Heavenward is the piece that is probably closest to my heart. I wrote that just a few months before COVID broke out. And the image I had when I started writing it was writing a piece of music that would be of great comfort to those that are in trauma, distress. I had an image of people in hospital beds. What piece of music would I write and play for people that are at a very low point, physically, emotionally, spiritually? And so I finished composing the piece. It came to me pretty fast, over just a couple of months. And then it was just a month or two later that COVID hit.
We'll hear it right here. It's called Heavenward, Meditation for Solo Violin and Tanpura. Maybe you should explain about the Tanpura.
Yes. Yeah, so I've studied South Indian Carnatic violin about a decade or so ago. I took summer lessons at the SV Temple in Monroeville, and they would fly in teachers from India for voice, for drums, you name it, violin. And I found out about this, and I've always been excited about different sounds that one can get out of the violin. And so for five summers, I took lessons, and I got pretty good at this style of playing. So what I did with Heavenward was I took the tanpura, which is an instrument that's normally just a background drone, and I decided to use it more as a duet partner. And then my violin, I hold it in Western tuning, so I don't sit cross-legged on the floor like they traditionally do for South Indian. So this piece would be called a fusion piece because it's East meets West. So I hold the violin traditional style. The violin is retuned F-sharp, C-sharp, F-sharp, C-sharp. So that configuration is typical South Indian Carnatic tuning. And then I do certain things that are more Western, such as my vibrato style is Western vibrato. But I also add in some slides and some other effects that are more reminiscent of the South Indian Carnatic style. So it's a fusion piece that is meant to be very meditative.
Thank you. Heavenward, meditation for solo violin and tempura. It was Devin Arrington playing, and he wrote the music. Devin, I love your piece.
Thank you. It's spectacular.
And did you hear a lot of Indian music when you were in India some years ago?
Interestingly, it was in India that I found my vocation. What I've been doing for the past 20 years in Pittsburgh, I've been teaching some of Pittsburgh's best young violinists. I start them as young as 3 years old, and then I have five adult students, 20 kids right now and five adults, including one who's 77 who just picked up the violin. I found my calling in India when I was 18 years old. I attended Woodstock International School, which is the premier boarding school in India. I took a semester off and I went to college a semester later, but it was there in India where in exchange for room and board, I gave violin lessons to about 20 kids. And I just loved it so much. It probably helped that I was up in the foothills of the Himalayan mountains. I would tell people, it's like Club Med, but without the great food.
Wonderful.
You know, I actually heard mostly Western music because that's what I was there for. I remember the conductor of the orchestra comes up to me and says, hey, I'm going to ask you to conduct the junior strings orchestra. And this was not part of the deal when I came over. And I was just 18 years old, never had conducted. I'd played in youth orchestras, but I never conducted. And I said to him, you know, I'm not a conductor. And he said, well, I'm not really a conductor either. He's like, you'll be fine. And so I wrote to my mom or called her back before we had, this was back before email. And I said, can you send me a baton? And so she went and got me this little book on conducting and a baton and sent it from Connecticut to India. And I read the book and that's how I learned how to, the very basics of conducting.
So we wouldn't have found you sitting cross-legged on the floor with incense and the rug.
No, I did not study that style at that time, no.
But absorbed the atmosphere of India.
Right, and I think that's why I took these summer lessons at the SV Temple and why I experimented with writing music where I retuned the violin was because I sort of had India in my blood. I think it was helpful to be there for those 5 months. I actually, several of the advanced students and faculty from Woodstock School made a trip to Delhi. It's about a 7-hour drive by bus. And we played with the Delhi Symphony. And this is a funny story. Half of the Indian violinists of the first violin section went on strike right before the performance because they weren't being paid enough. And so the conductor made me the assistant concertmaster. He's like, you be the assistant concertmaster. And again, I was just 18. I was just thrown into this position. And so I was like, okay. So we did a whole bunch of Viennese waltzes because the Austrian ambassador was visiting.
Wow. Showbiz is amazing, isn't it? And this was in what city?
This was in Delhi. Yeah. So Woodstock School is in Mysore, which is one of the hill stations. It was founded like over 100 years ago by missionaries. And so, you know, you take this bus down this harrowing, you know, back then there was no guardrails at all. And so you would be on the bus and then there'd be another bus coming the other direction. And I swear one of the buses would have half its tire like off the edge of the cliff. And the bus driver would be looking to the right, looking to the left, making sure that they cleared the bus, but they didn't go over the cliff.
Yikes. And when you got to Carnegie Mellon, did you share your interest in the Indian music world with Leonardo Ballada, your teacher? Did he hear any of this in you?
No. With my second string quartet, which you'll play, that second string quartet was my first foray into changing the tuning of the instruments, which to me is very exciting because what it allowed me to do was it allowed me to be new and to do what the academics and my teacher wanted, which was to be fresh and new and original without compromising on tonality. I really love tonal music, and most composers will tell you that when you go to music school and you go to composition, do a degree in composition, you're being pushed to do everything as bizarre as possible to push you, and they should push you. So what I ended up doing was I retuned the second violin down to a DDAD tuning, which comes from the fiddle world. It's called dead man's tuning, DDAD. And when you tune that G down to a really low D, you get all kinds of interesting sounds out. And then the viola, I tuned the top two strings up a half step. So in the recording, when you listen to it, what it does is it allows me to create a harp effect. Because now, instead of the traditional just open fifths, which are pretty boring to listen to over and over again, it actually creates a melody. So in the opening of the second string quartet, you'll hear what sounds like a harp, but it's actually the viola being passed to the second violin. And then over top of that, the first violin and the cello play a Middle Eastern sounding melody.
Devin Arrington, violinist, composer, founder of Musicians with a Mission, is here. This is his string quartet number 2, played by the Argus String Quartet.
Thank you. Thank you.
String Quartet No. 2 by Devin Arrington, the Argus String Quartet, playing your music. Thank you for being our guest today. Devin, tell me about the Argus Quartet.
The Argus String Quartet is a New York City-based organization that helps promote new compositions and new works by inviting composers to submit their scores. And then if chosen, you can pay them a fee to have them work on your piece and then do a studio recording, a professional studio recording.
It sounds great. It really worked out well. When did you record it?
About a year ago.
Not too long ago, so it's relatively recent.
Well, this string quartet was, after winning the CMU string quartet competition and getting very good feedback on it, I submitted it to a national competition, which is called the First Music Prize, and it's still going. It's hosted by the New York Youth Symphony. So every year, the New York Youth Symphony will pick several winners in the orchestra division, and then they pick one winner in the chamber music division. So I submitted my string quartet, not thinking I would actually win this thing, but then I got a call, and the guy told me I'd won. And this was about 20 years ago. And he asked me, how many times did you apply for this? And I said, this was my first time. And he said, well, double congratulations. People usually try many years in a row. So that felt good. And then winning that led to me being commissioned to write a piece for clarinet, cello, and piano that was premiered at WOW Recital Hall at Carnegie Hall by members of the New York Youth Symphony.
Congratulations. I love it. Devin is here. He has put his heart and soul into trying to help Western Pennsylvania with musicians with a mission. You're one of those rare birds that comes to Carnegie Mellon as a graduate student and sticks around afterwards. Good for you, Devin. We're glad for that. And you've got a big studio with how many people are you working with? I don't know how many you can accommodate. You're always looking for interest. You mentioned the age range is quite wide. Yep. You're enjoying your life in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I enjoy all of my students. We do one solo performance a year and one group concert. I have a student who's currently in the first violin section of Piso, and then another student in the first violin section of Tripo. I have kids that are complete beginners and 3 years old, and then very advanced students. So nice range.
You're so busy that you've given up playing in the Westmoreland Symphony, where you played for quite a while.
Yes, 20 years.
Congrats.
Almost 20 years.
20 years. I can't believe it was that
long. Well, COVID hit, and then I decided to focus on weddings. So now I play in weddings.
So if I want to be your student or have you participate in my wedding, how do I figure that out? You've got a website.
I do. DevinArrington.com.
And that's different from Musicians with a Mission.
Yes.
Now, the Pittsburgh Symphony's had some terrific people who work very hard with the health of their listeners. Penny Brill comes to mind. She's played in hospitals around Western Pennsylvania. And Cynthia Colado de Almeida worked with people who had breathing problems through her playing of the oboe. But what you do is a little more grassroots and different. You're getting out a little bit further with more people than those two. I mean, they did a lot of work.
Yeah, so...
But there's only so much that musicians in the symphony can do while they're busy playing concerts on stage at Heinz Hall.
So pre-COVID, we got up to where I was coordinating 10 performances every month. At this point, over the last 15 years or 14 years, I added it up and I've arranged over 1,000 performances at healthcare facilities. And so that statistic feels really good.
That sounds great to me. Congratulations again. You've got one more piece to play for us, and I'm grateful to you for recording it here at WQED FM. It's for The Beauty of Grace. Tell me about this piece.
So this piece came about because about 5 years ago, an uncle of mine died, and he loved the outdoors, and he loved God. And for him, nature and his spirituality were very interconnected. And so I was asked to play something at his funeral service, and I thought Amazing Grace and For the Beauty of the Earth were the two most appropriate hymns. And so I fused them together into a piece called For the Beauty of Grace, where one dovetails into the other.
And again, you're messing with the tuning here?
No. In this piece, the tuning is standard tuning, but I do add a drone effect to recreate the sound of bagpipes. And that drone effect is something that is also throughout Heavenward Meditation for violin. There's always a drone going on in the tempura, but then there's also often a drone with one of the strings of the violin going on.
Listeners know, or many will know, For the Beauty of the Earth, and of course Amazing Grace, but there's also a tune that fans of Christian music
might recognize. Yeah, it's subtle, and so it's kind of placed there for those people that are sitting there and listening, and they think, oh, I know that. What is that? What is that? So it's kind of like my little private aside to Christian listeners. It's I Exalt Thee. It's a very famous, old, pretty old, popular Christian song.
For the Beauty of Grace, Devin Arrington, solo violin. You heard For the Beauty of Grace, Devin Arrington, violinist and composer. If you want to learn more about it, you can go to Devin Arrington's website. Can we communicate with you there if
sure.
we have questions to ask?
Yes. And just to reiterate, I am interested in, for myself and my team of musicians, going into people's homes to play for people that may be bedridden.
And you might play this piece.
This very same piece.
In a very interesting setting, I think. Your musicians will be gathering after you get in touch through the website. Congratulations. A great success.
Thank you.
Really, really wonderful. Devin Arrington, so nice to see you. Please keep us posted on the good work that your group is doing, and I hope we can spread the word
and
get you in more facilities. All the best.
Thank you.